Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Blogger News on the Radio. My name is Simon Barrett, and I will be your host today. This is another in our ongoing series, Surviving the 21st Century, a look at health and nutrition in our modern world. As always, I'm joined by my fabulous panel, the writing and research team of Manny Barling and Ashley Brooks. As you're on the left coast, good morning to both of you.
Well, good morning.
Good morning, Simon. Good morning to the listeners.
I always like to start the program with something absolutely nonsensical. And I have to admit that this morning I had absolutely no clue what that might be. However, the internet is always a treasure trove of useless information. And I found an absolutely delightful story out of England. It could only be England. There's a city by the name of Leicester, and England has a Freedom of Information Act. So a concerned resident, using the Freedom of Information Act, sent a letter to the city council asking what their plans were in case of an unexpected zombie invasion. The city council spokesman pointed out that indeed, you know, that this had not been considered in their emergency preparedness plan. However, he felt that the plan they currently had in place could easily be adapted in the case of a zombie invasion. Okay, too funny for words.
That's a hard act to follow, Simon.
It is, Simon. I think you did ascend.
Manny, I understand that we have a special guest with us this week. Would you like to do the honors?
We certainly do. A very special lady, Grace Robbins Barnes, a delightful lady who was married to Harold Robbins for more than 28 years, who wanted to discuss with our listeners and us too all the reasons why wives lose their husbands. This is near and dear to me because Ashley almost lost me. And
Manny almost lost me. I mean, we both went through this.
And in my personal life, I came to realize I knew I had a very bright wife. I knew I had a very well-educated wife. I knew I had a very knowledgeable wife in medicine, food, and other things. But I didn't listen to her anyway, which is a trademark of most husbands. And when I became ill, the light went on that if I didn't listen to her, I was going to die. And many of the reasons I'm still alive today is because I listened to my wife. I have a number of friends of mine who didn't listen to their wife, didn't listen to me as a friend, their doctors and other people, and kept on doing all the bad habits they did, and they tended to die. Well, Grace and I had this conversation, and she had a similar conversation. Actually began this with Ashley. Grace and Ashley are friends, and in the course of that conversation, this subject came up that I hear from wives all the time. My husband wouldn't listen to me. It impacted his health. In my case, my wife warned me that I was becoming critically ill 8 or 9 months before I had a malignant cancer surgery, and had I listened to her, goodness knows what a different direction my life became. So, Grace, we want to welcome you to the show, and we'd love to discuss some of this. And I'm going to give a quick background of Harold Robbins for those who know a little about him other than the movies of his books. He wrote 20 or more books, I think it was 25, and sold over 750 million copies in 30-plus languages. And Harold was born in New York City. There are a number of different stories about him that aren't true about him being an orphan and all the rest of this. He was came from a well-educated family. His father was a pharmacist. He worked his way up through the studios. So one time he claimed to be in the sugar business, which I think Grace is going to edify for us. And he worked at Universal. He worked in the PR business. And he did a lot of things until 1957 when he became a full-time writer. I had the joy of meeting him as a young child. He hung out in my parents' restaurant, and he was part of a Saturday morning breakfast clique with a variety of Grace's friends of mine, Jerry Pam, the world-famous publicist, and a variety of people. And he was one of the most interesting, exciting men I've ever known in my life. But I did notice every Saturday morning these guys would just consume huge amounts of corned beef, pastrami, lox table. They just had them all.
Of course.
So, Grace, tell us about all those wonderful years.
Oh, yes. You know, they were wonderful indeed. But, oh, you know, the pastrami sandwiches and the corned beef and the foie gras and the steaks and the chocolate cakes. The Four Seasons restaurant in New York made a special chocolate cake for Harold and with send it to him from New York to L.A. It was incredible how everyone was catering to him, of course, but with the wrong things, and he loved them. That's all he wanted, and no vegetables, no fruits. Luckily, he didn't drink that much, but it was all that consumption of all that incredibly high cholesterol food.
Well, when you were young, was cholesterol an issue in everyone's diet?
We didn't even know what that was.
Uh-huh. So,
I don't think he knew, and I don't think his parents knew. That word didn't exist then.
So basically you were all raised in an era where everyone ate well-rounded foods and good foods, but no one considered whether they'd have any long-term effect, right?
Yes. Who thought of consequences? No, there were none. We continued life on a very high basis, and unfortunately, it was his downfall. He had a stroke, and after that, things changed immediately. Pardon me.
Yeah.
And so...
Yeah, go ahead. You mean your diet changed and your life changed because of it?
Not the diet, but the life changed. It came to a screeching halt. It was amazing how different things were. We couldn't travel anymore. Excuse me. I'm going to have a sip of water.
Well, you know, I experienced that, too. I went through a stage where it was very difficult for me to travel because of the food served in, you know, all around the world.
While
it tasted wonderful, it would put me into bed. I would go, we were in Costa Rica for a birthday party, and I ended up spending a few days in bed because as wonderful as that
resort was.
That's
the trip you spent in it.
Yeah.
I went to, which is hanging, whatever that thing was, Cove in Costa Rica without him. I did a lot of activities and things that were totally without him.
I understand that because I had that when we would take trips. He had to try all these wonderful food. I remember when we were in, I forget exactly where it was, and we both came down with salmonella.
Wow.
That was something else. But
that was out of the country?
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. And it was in Curacao, as a matter of fact. But the thing was this. He never changed his way of eating. I would talk to him about it. I would plan menus. He had to have only what he wanted. And that was that. And I didn't know that I was going to ever have that again, and I did with my second husband, Paul.
When you say that he had the same eating habits?
Exactly, and I didn't quite understand when my daughter said, How is it, Mother, that you always seem to marry the same man? And so this is it. He wanted his stakes. He would. We go to New York just to go to Peter Luger for the biggest steak I ever saw on a plate, and he would finish it all.
Peter Luger would do it.
Let me guess. He'd leave the vegetables.
There were no vegetables on the plate at all.
I think
there
he told me that
room.
He also... no room. I like that.
Right.
No room on the plate for that green stuff.
Exactly.
I think you said, Grace, that he also liked even the same desserts. So,
oh my God, yes.
The identical chocolate pie, liked the same meat. And when you and I spoke, we started talking about genetically engineered food and how different it is from the food that many, many years ago that people would actually have, grass-fed, 100% grass-fed, slowly fed, healthy animals. So the meat was not the same as what he thought he was eating, was not at all the same.
Not at all. Not
in
at
fact,
all.
There's a recent, you made me go work this week.
good.
yeah, thank you. I was scouring through things, and there's a brand new DVD that's out that I'm about to order from Germany that the main scientists have gotten together with Jeffrey Smith, and they have put together a brand new documentary. And one of the scientists said this, and I'm hoping that this will make clarity on genetically modified food or meat.
Mm-hmm.
What I have said in the past is, if you eat GMO food, you're actually eating it in the meat. Now, I like the way the scientist actually put it. But he's the one who actually did experiments with animals and to see what happened to an animal when it ate GMO vegetables or GMO anything, because these animals are fed GMO vegetables. He said, remember when an animal has been eating a GM, genetically modified food, that animal has been changed. So when you eat that GM animal, genetically modified animal, you are eating a different animal.
Oh,
you're essentially eating a genetically modified animal. That animal is not a cow. That animal is a genetically modified cow, genetically modified pig, genetically modified chicken. So we've been doing statistics on foodborne illnesses over the last couple weeks, and I will send you the foodborne illness document that we did on the the internet. And so as we do it, we were finding the various diseases that are making people sick. And Manny, you wanted to say something?
Well, no, I'm just pointing out that there's so much of what's being gained today of knowledge just goes to show how little we've all really known historically about the food we eat. Simon is a great example. He will tell you that until he started reading our books, he had no clue how much deception was going on behind these scenes. And the same was true then. What it didn't say to your generation is that people, much like Harold, had been eating things like sodium nitrate and corned beef, because corned beef and pastrami has to be made with a special chemical, and no one bothered to tell anybody that that chemical was carcinogenic, and probably in Harold's time, nobody really knew. You know, everybody just got up and ate it, and nobody knew that one day it was going to kill them. But a lot of this stuff was really cast in stone because they've been playing with food for so long, so it's sort of gathered and added up. And so at some point in your life in the 70s and the 80s, as they kept adding more and more chemicals in the food, it started affecting generations. And
absolutely. Oh, absolutely. Manny, it was really horrible to watch this happening. After his stroke, he was never the same. And, of course, it was difficult for him to write anymore. And so he had to have someone help him with his writing, a ghostwriter. And it was really so humiliating for him. But he kept eating all those steaks and those chocolate cakes.
Now, did he have any clue at the end that what he was doing may be affecting his health in terms
no,
of...
No, not at all. Not
no,
at all.
We had lunch with a attorney out of Chicago this past week, and one of the things that really hit me was when he said he had read our books, and he had never put the fact that I'm going to the doctor because I'm sick with the fact that what he had put into his body actually made him sick.
Uh-huh.
He thought, I'm going to the doctor because I'm sick because I need medicine, because that's the way we're all programmed.
Exactly.
I'm going to go eat whatever I want, and then I'm
going
to go to the doctor, and the doctor's going to fix it.
Right, right. Exactly.
And that's how his generation felt, right?
Oh, absolutely, yes. He had many meds, indeed, and so did Paul. I never saw so many meds. It was for high blood pressure. It was for high cholesterol. It was for the heart. It was for the lungs. It was for the stomach. It was for... And he thought as long as he took his meds, he could just eat whatever he wanted because he didn't want anything else and he didn't know about anything else, even though I would occasionally, I couldn't do it all the time, sit him down and try to make him understand, but he didn't want to.
Well, one of the things you and I started to talk about was how we got Manny to see a different point of view. And the point of view came when Manny would go out to lunch. He would come, in the middle of lunch, he'd almost pass out. He would come home, he'd almost pass out. Sometimes he'd come home and he'd be in bed for 3 weeks. He'd be so sick.
Yeah.
And or he'd wake up after eating something simple, and he'd be in bed again. 3 weeks would go by, or I'd have to push him around this wheelchair, or he'd be painfully walking through the house with a walker. There was a point where he was with disability, and there was a nurse from the insurance company who decided she was going to write this up from her point of view because it's all about we don't want to pay anything. So I looked at it and I said, Manny, you know, in college, one of the things we'd have to do during a course of a week is you'd have to examine a person and write up every angle you could on that blood work and every angle you could on every single test that you saw.
Mm-hmm.
So you could turn it any which way to go to any which illness, to go to any, flip it around any which way. So I said, you know, Manny, the only way this is going to work is if you do a diary. So every day, he would write down every minute, every hour, not, you know, he would come back to the conclusion of the day.
Oh, what a good idea.
And so he would write down, you know, I had this and I had that and I spent the entire night up in the bathroom. I spent, you know, this was another day that I was crippled for an entire month.
Mm.
You know, and it all started from this and then I kept eating that. And so then it became how to do this diet. You tell it, Manny.
Well, actually what I wanted to add is, I'm alive because of that, because as I started to write this diary, Grace, I suddenly realized what was making me sick. You know, you see patterns, and Simon's a prolific writer, and he sees patterns with his own writing, too. And pretty soon I started going, wow, every time I eat this particular food, it seems innocuous, but it made me ill. So, you know, I just, you know, the light starts to go on, and you start going, duh, you know, and it became so obvious what the cause of my illnesses were. It was the food. And that started me on the journey, along with Ashley, to write all of these books. And and amazingly, it also shut up my insurance company, because after reading them, they had absolutely nothing to say.
It was too scary for them to even it was a horror movie.
Yeah, well, it was a horror movie to go through. But it's important, and we advocate it in our books, and you're right. Sometimes when men see things as graphically as I saw my health, you just get up one morning and you say to yourself, boy, I'm really doing this to myself just by eating that. So I started what Ashley refers to as an elimination diet, which is based on Theron Randolph, Dr. Randolph's theory, who's the founder of environmental medicine. So, Grace, I suddenly found that if I deleted some food from my life after a period of time, I started feeling better. So, you know, became every experience became more and more obvious. If you eat this, that happens. If you do this, that happens. And I was amazed.
And coincidentally during this time,
yes,
I was writing a film. I thought, you know, this would be really a fun film to write. I wanted to write a horror film.
Oh, my.
So I wrote writing this film called Swamp Eels. And while I was doing it, I started coming across all this genetically modified stuff and transgenic, and I went, oh, my heaven. Because, like I was saying to you, this genetically modified food, you hadn't heard, or you may have, but, you know, what exactly is it? No one knows. They don't really tell you about
it. Right. No, yes. It's true. But, you know, my horror movie was watching how my husband's died.
Yes.
It was horrific. It was not peaceful. The only time was when they died. And I saw the pain that they went through, and I saw how they developed other symptoms. Eventually, while my husband was going through all this, he developed diabetes.
Yes.
And I think that was the end. That was the real end, because he couldn't cope with everything. It all hit him at the same time. And I saw how he suffered, and it was nothing I could do then. And that made me feel even more depressed and frustrated and horrified by what I saw.
And it is horrifying. And living through with Manny, the fact that he is now up and going, I'm really grateful to God for. But living through it, I went through that where it was, I have moments of just being, I'd go in my room and close the door because I'd be so angry.
Oh, yes. Oh,
and
it makes
angry
you angry.
I was angry because he wouldn't listen.
Yeah.
And
I
was angry because
I know
there was no control of getting this turned around. There was just an absolute inability to make a change.
And yes, I felt helpless, yes.
It is a horrible, helpless feeling.
Yes.
It's a horrible feeling of going in and out of denial. And I think there's a book by, are you familiar with Elizabeth Kubler-Ross in the Five
Yes,
Stages?
Yes, I know her.
And the Five Stages of Grief, which
yes.
people, there's multiple layers that go on. There's the spouse, you and I, who are sitting there trying to get the person to get well or to change what's going on, and you're going through the five stages.
Mm-hmm.
That person's going through the five. See, they don't put it on you and me. We went through five stages.
Yes.
There is the stage of denial. You get angry. You bargain,
right.
Oh, God, if you help me now, I'm going to be just, you know, I can get him
true.
Through this.
Yes, yes.
The depression. And it's normal.
Oh, my, yes.
Because you
yes.
go from suddenly your life for me, oh, my gosh, I had just done a pilot for a series. I was, you know, just on a cover of a magazine that went all over California. I saw myself going, wow, this is the biggest thing in my life. And on the day that happened with that magazine cover, Manny went into surgery to have colon cancer surgery.
Oh, my. Oh.
So you go through all of the depression, the acceptance, the whole framework, every one of the five stages are what
so
you
true.
And I have gone in and out of.
Brooke, this is so true. And I did it twice in my life. And it makes you think that you too will get ill and never be well. It does something to your own self.
Yes, it does.
Yes.
Do you have times where you wonder if or blame yourself?
Oh, but of course. Yes, of course. Why couldn't I have been stronger? Why couldn't I have insisted more? Why couldn't I have, I don't know what I could have done, but I would have those moments.
Because
well, one
I
of
have,
the things
one of the things that you said earlier on,
yes,
on the program was that, you know, you would try and sit them down and reason,
yes,
with them. I mean, what more can a human being do?
Threaten divorce? I wouldn't do that.
Oh, and I think that's too great.
That.
You knew I wasn't going anywhere, though.
No.
Well, I don't know that as a husband, that's what you feel. I think you go through a process where you're just so numb. And I was so numb from all of that.
How true.
And I'm sure he was, too. He just reached a point where, you know, people say, well, I think you're going to die tomorrow. You go, oh, well, okay. You know, and doctors talk to you in such a way that it doesn't help. And that's not only you, but Ashley, with her knowledge of medicine, was so frustrated with my doctors, I think she wanted to assassinate them at one time.
Well, let me tell you, Paul would order them out of his room. Eventually, he went into a nursing home because he had so many different symptoms and so many different reactions, and he needed extra help. And so I found some place next to home, not far, and I would visit him every day. And the doctors would come, and he'd say, you don't know what I'm going through. And they'd say, well, okay, and they would leave. He didn't want to have anything to do with the doctors.
Do you know what the change for Manny was? When he would take this record that he was creating all week long, because that's what nurses do. Nurses create records, okay? So now he's going into the doctor with a record to say, and the doctor could sit there and see his life 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Now, they don't teach this. It's not something that people teach or tell the families or tell, because if he couldn't do it, then I could have done it. And I'm mad that I didn't do it sooner. I'm mad at myself. I'm angry at myself. And I have moments where I blame myself because even with the food, had I known that genetically modified food makes people deathly ill, I would have changed everything in his life and his course and could have kept him out of a wheelchair. And I really strongly believe that.
I do, too.
Yeah.
So, but because the government is partners with the companies that are creating the genetically engineered food, you don't hear about it. I don't hear about it.
No.
Our tax dollars are paying for that.
Oh, my.
I feel so,
as I talk about this, I still feel I wish I could have done something else. Yes, I have regrets about that. I do. But I don't know what I could have done. Simon, it was really impossible.
Oh, no, I don't doubt that. You know, people are set in their ways. My wife would love to change me, but no, not happening. You know, I'm...
Simon, don't sound so proud.
You have to understand.
But they were proud. They were just as proud. I know that what you're saying, Simon, because I would see that with them. Yes.
Oh, well, Manny was impossible. I go, Manny, this is making you sick. Oh, yes. You don't know what you're talking about. If I remove this, I have nothing to eat. I'd hear that one, you know?
Well, it's true.
I mean, the list came down to nothing.
That's right. That's right. We would walk out of restaurants that didn't have what he wanted.
Yeah, of course.
my kind of guy.
Oh, it's great. It's not easy. And I think part of it is, too, when people are so sick, they don't realize they're sick. I mean, when I became ill, I didn't realize how sick I was. And Manny kept saying, you're sick. Well, because you're going through it, your own denial comes in, your own anger and denial and depression and everything else that goes with being sick, because for the person who's sick, if you admit you're sick, then you have to change. If you admit you're sick, then, oh, my gosh, you have to stop. If you admit you're
sick. Oh, no, they were never sick.
Yes.
Yeah, you're right. They would never admit it. No.
No. I mean, no. Manny, it wasn't until he went into the emergency room with me saying, "You are going." he would have just laid there and said, "I'm fine," you know.
Well, I had that with Paul. He had a triple bypass, and he, as soon as he was able to come home, he wanted a pastrami sandwich. Hello.
The worst thing he could eat.
Right.
Oh,
right.
I know. I had the deli here on a regular basis. They were knocking on the door. So, you know, I asked Grace. I totally understand it. And it wasn't until we understood what was in the food and how it was being manufactured that...
Go on, I'm sorry.
Wait a minute. I got to jump in here. Yes, the deli delivered out, but what did they deliver? Chicken in a pot, chicken soup primarily.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. By then I knew if I had two bites of a pastrami sandwich, I immediately checked into bed, pulled the covers over my head, and waited for lightning to strike me. I mean, I had no illusions about eating pastrami. I mean, that was the one that had, like, you know, Sea Dog Run on it.
Paul would say, "Well, my pipes are clean now. I'll just start filling them up again." Can you believe that?
Yeah, I can. I understand his generation very, very well. I used to sit in my parents' restaurant on Saturday mornings, my father and this whole clique of motion picture people, and, you know, because they were all out of control. You know, you're around the industry as much as we do.
Yeah.
They have the ordained right to have the habits they have. And that's the way they feel.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah.
I heard a funny story about Buddy Hackett. He went to a spa to lose weight, and he made an arrangement with a messenger just at night to send him pastrami and corned beef sandwiches.
I heard the same story, how he would sneak out and meet them in pack. And yeah, if that sounded like Buddy, I mean, that's the kind of stuff he would do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. they were wonderful characters, but oh my.
Yeah.
Oh, Grace, I think you summed it up. It is an oh my. And it is, and Manny, oh my gosh, it was so frustrating trying to get him to listen for anything.
Oh, God. You know, I'm really getting abused today.
You are. Well, Grayson.
Oh, Manny, no. You know what? I wish that I had been more abusive, but I couldn't be with them. But you have to be. Brooke, I know what you're doing, and I wish that I had done it too. But I didn't have your strength or your knowledge, and that was difficult to do without.
And that's part of the point of what we're doing right now, Grace, is letting people know so that they can hear and hopefully to educate people on how to. I mean, I wish somebody would have given me this how to in 1997 because there was no how to.
Well, that's one of my complaints is, and Simon, I know you feel the same way. You had some health problems in your family last year, and it takes you a while to realize the doctors really don't know what they're doing, and the fact is they're almost in your way at times because they, on top of all their faults, they give you bad advice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh, absolutely. I think the major problem, though, is lack of education. I've had to find things out for myself, as you have.
There you go.
That there's something wrong here. You know, that this should be a fundamental part of, going to school.
As long as the U.S. government, who is partners with these biotech industry and pharmaceutical companies, are backing the universities and paying the medical universities and giving donations to them, the only thing the doctors are going to walk away with is the education that they deem they're allowed to have. Mm-hmm. And it's been proven over and over and over again. And we talk about it in our books and we talk about it on the show, and that's one of the problems. And one of the other problems, Grace, is because after listening to you with the multiple medicines and the various organ problems, I am not a foot, I am not a knee, I am not a liver, a kidney, a pancreas, I am not diabetes, I am not a heart. I am all of that. I am all body as a whole. Every organ, every part functions together. So So if you do not treat the body as a whole, and you go to different specialists, which is what they've done,
which
then you do not have, how do I heal this whole body? So that's one of the biggest problems right now in medicine. You know, I'm going to take this drug to help that, but then that drug cancels this, and then, and most of them are made out of synthetic enzymes, which the enzymes are the main key to every single cell in the body. So these synthetic enzymes that are done into drugs affect the various organs that create problems within the organs. So you've got the genetically engineered food, which you're supposed to be the food is your medicine. It's harming you. And then you've got these drugs that are taken for different things that are going to cause different problems within the body. It's getting back to, for you, this is important. For you, it's treating the body as a whole, which you do. I mean, you are so beautiful. I wish people could see you because, she is so beautiful.
Thank you.
You've got an energy, grace, that, I want to make sure you keep that energy.
I want to.
Yeah.
You know, I'm in my 70s, and I just feel like I'm really not, and I don't even think about it. And I see other people my age, and it doesn't seem the same somehow. And I was raised on fish and pasta. My Sicilian mother cooked only wonderful fresh fish every day, and pasta and vegetables, and that's how I was raised.
Actually, I was going to ask you, that question. How on earth did you, eat the right stuff with these two men that you were married
Good
to?
Question. Good question, Simon. Oh, it was difficult, wasn't it? Yes, I gave in a lot. And when I tasted that foie gras, whoa, did that taste good. And, I guess I'm very lucky I got away with it. I don't know. I walked away from it. I don't know what to say.
Let me guess. You ordered the smaller steak so there was room on the plate for the vegetables.
Exactly. Oh, Simon, that's it. Exactly. Yes. Exactly.
You know, Grace, some of it, too, and I want to draw a comparison to this younger generation right now. They're doing, in my opinion, much the same thing with all these fast foods. They won't listen to anybody. No matter what you tell them about how they harmed your health,
this generation just says,
well, I want my, double wide burger and, my all of that stuff.
Right.
So I think it's something that plagues every generation, don't you?
You know, it's true that I have a story about when Paul was in the nursing home and he felt that this is pretty much like toward the end. I would ask him what he would like me to bring him for lunch, and he would say a burrito from Del Taco.
Wow.
Really? Really, darling? And he'd say yes. He said, look, I'm just going to have the things that I want, and because I don't know how long I'm going to be here to have them. And that was it.
That is, I think, one of the tendencies that all of us do. I always say, I think I may take up smoking when I get sick. I have yet to do it. I would never do it. The chemicals are horrible. But, I would never do it. But, I mean, that's kind of the extreme of where I go. I go, what would I want? I go, well, I want to try that, if I were really, really that sick. And I've been really, really that sick, and I never went there. But I think that
I know.
It's a response that goes with, if I eat this, then I'll be normal.
No, it's more of a who cares at this point attitude. And
exactly.
that attitude is reserved exclusively for men, right, Simon?
Absolutely. I was listening to the burrito story, and I'm going, yeah, that's what I'd do.
Well, at least you're honest about it. I felt that way at times. Found myself saying, at this point, what difference does it make? You know, I'm not going to make it anyway, so, you know, why not?
And the sad thing is, that's the time that people should be eating the healthiest. What happens as people get older is, again, it gets back to the enzymes, which we'll get into a little bit, Grace, so that you understand it. Manny's the best
right.
for that. But the body starts depleting of what it needs in the enzymes. And the only way you can get the enzymes is through supplementation and through the food. So at a time when people have the lowest amount of enzymes, the lowest and poorest immune system that makes them sick, they are then having the foods that they absolutely, that are toxic to them. So it's really an interesting thing that happens at that point, because that's the point we should really be saying, even though I want it, I'm not going to eat it. But it doesn't happen.
Yes, I think what is interesting, I read something about sometimes your body will crave things that are so bad for your body, but your body wants it. Is that possible?
I was going to point that out. Right. Dr. Dantini points that out, that if you have an allergy to food, quite frequently your body will want what you're allergic to, and it's something strange, a phenomena about the human body. And I think that is a problem for a lot of people. I know that was true for me. It took me some serious effort to break some of these habits. In fact, I would describe it as drug withdrawal. No other description of it. I would say to myself, I'm withdrawing from the drug food. And when you describe Harold, and I think of my time as a youth watching them, you know, I think, you know, they were like drug addicts. They would show up almost salivating on a Saturday morning, couldn't wait for my mother's food, couldn't wait to eat these various things, and they just, it was almost a Saturday morning orgasm at the restaurant. It was. Don't you agree, Grace, that they...
Oh, my
they,
God, yes.
It was. They just approached it like their latest orgasm. And and by the way, on my behalf, I don't know that I disagreed with them as I got older, because, boy, we live in a town where you can just live forever on the food here. New York City, I think, has better food generally, but when it comes to a wider range and the quality of food in Los Angeles, it rivals anywhere in the world. Don't you agree?
I think so, too. Yes. But he had favorite restaurants, and they were always very good restaurants. I mean, they weren't fast food restaurants, and to get what he wanted, and that was, oh, my God. He wanted steak. He wanted lamb chops. He wanted meat. He wanted meat and potatoes. Meat and potatoes. And that was the same with both.
Yeah.
And again, the unfortunate thing is that the food, the meat and potatoes are not the same. And as of the 90s, the potato is made as genetically modified. And when the scientists did testing on the animals, it destroyed the liver, the kidney, and the pancreas. And with the pancreas, of course, you've got your diabetes going. So, and then the animals are fed the same food, and they're just become sick with it. So you're actually eating sick food. But unfortunately, and it's being fed to us off these high-end, fabulous restaurants. I mean, I thought the restaurant we went to this past week was excellent. But the problem is that we face the food, and we think it's the same food as our childhood, when in fact it's not.
Well, let me ask you, Brooke. What about organic food? Paul didn't believe in organic food, but tell me more about that.
Good, Manny.
You want me to do it?
Sure.
Well, this is a voice of experience. When I switched to organic foods, I was reborn, and my life totally changed. And I can take a bite of beef these days and tell you whether it's organic or it's factory farmed. Yeah, the difference in the quality of the fat and the taste, if for no other reason organic food tastes 1,000% better.
It's pure.
It's pure. It's what our grandparents made. You talk about your mother. My mother was British, came from the old school. She was a black cap chef. She understood food. My mother would not serve anything that that we've even talked about today. Everything had to be fresh. It had to be fresh from the farm. And when you look back at that attitude that was that your mother had and mine and others had, that's why this greatest generation, Brokaw's generation, has lived so long. But this next generation won't. And the members of the generation who ate culturally, and it's not just his Jewish heritage. I see this with the friends of mine who are African-American who love soul food. Well, soul food may not have been bad for you in the old days, but when you consider how much of this genetically modified foods, the different additives end up into organs to take the tripe, the brain, or the intestines and make soul food for something that's inundated with pesticides and all these various modified foods, you're asking to kill yourself. So the difference between the organic food and the non-organic food is I wake up every morning and I can walk. If I have food out, which happened to me a few days ago in a restaurant in Beverly Hills. In fact, I'll name names. It was the Beverly Wilshire Hotel, which cannot find a better restaurant, really, for a hotel. We're talking about a five-star restaurant. I still started to have an arthritic reaction to the food.
Which is the first sign for him. And then the next step is he's in bed if he continued it. But we stop the thing the minute he has the first symptom. He goes back to enzymes and a different food pattern so that he does not end up in bed.
So, and sometimes, Grace, that's why you don't see me at events is because if I go to these events and I eat these foods, I can go home and just count the hours before chronic arthritis and all these various other things that go with it.
But he's not the only one.
Yeah.
I mean, first of all, let me finish answering your question. The difference with the organic versus the conventional, first we start with conventional. Conventional may not be genetically modified. It can be and it can't be. In other words, they just don't label it. And the conventional means, when you see it at Whole Foods, that it is heavily done in pesticides. The pesticides have been proven to cause cancer. They cause a lowering of the IQ in children. It passes through the fetal barrier, and it causes genetic changes within babies that are, carrying moms, pregnant moms. It is very, very dangerous. And if it's going to affect a baby like that, imagine what it's going to do within your cells that are replenishing every day.
Well, I don't have to imagine. I saw what it did to me.
And then if you have a genetically modified food, what it means is, the corn is, and Manny, I think you do this one best. I'll just give a brief. BT toxin, which is a pesticide that is put into genetically change that corn. It's put into whatever it is put into, a potato or whatever they're using. Soy is the worst. And then they put that in there so that you have a pesticide not only sprayed on and into your food, but you have it that you're biting into that vegetable that has that genetic engineered pesticide within the food, and it's very toxic.
Is there no amount of washing and brushing?
No.
And
it's actually part of that entire fruit and vegetable that's part of it.
Well, Grace, let me answer that, too. What they do is after, first of all, they pick it prematurely because they're worried about the time getting to the market. And when you and I were young, they got food to the market, like, right now, okay? It was important for foods to get where you got it fresh. Well, not anymore. Some of these foods take a long period of time. So what they do is they spray the food. And then ethylene, for example, turns a variety of fruits, tomatoes, red. So they pick them while there's still a little bit of green, spray them with ethanol, and it'll make them look beautiful and shiny in the markets. They put a wax over them. So whatever pesticides and other chemicals are now sealed in by the wax.
And they're using a new thing called nanoparticles, which is a technical thing that never had any long-term study or testing done on it. Neither is GMO, by the way. And so you're the guinea pig.
Before I leave you, I'm worried about anything that I eat.
Oh no! It's genetic, making sure that it's organic, and then Danny briefly goes through enzymes. Go through enzymes so that we'll talk quickly, Grace, because I know you have to go.
Grace, very quickly, what happens is your body produces enzymes, and it's almost like a bank full of money. You start out life with a full bank of enzymes, and as you grow older, your body stops producing them. Some people, you may be an example of this, produce enzymes all the way through their life. We all know people, we go, oh, a guy can eat a garbage can. You just, you know, whatever you throw at him, you know guys like that. So, they may produce an extremely high volume of enzymes as opposed to other people, so they seem to have less health problems in the long run. But most people run out. So you reach a certain age where your body no longer produces enough enzymes to digest your food.
Mm-hmm.
That's when they start to have colon cancer problems and other problems like me. And it became clear
to me, heart disease.
It became clear to me that I was one of those people who did not adequately produce enzymes. So when I started supplementing them with the enzymes, natural ones, which come from the roots of pineapple, papaya, and a variety of other natural sources, I immediately started to get better because I could digest my food better. So, and I found this true with a great number of friends of mine, especially seniors who seem to have struggled with that. So at the end of the day, the enzymes are extremely important. Anyone over
prevents
the age
cancer,
right.
Allows you to take the whatever food you're eating, you will be able to take, it will allow the nutrients of that food to go properly into your body and organs and be utilized properly, and the waste and the pesticides, et cetera, leave the body. So it actually adds an extra protection within the body.
And I might point out, among the other things I found, is it mitigated the side effects of most drugs. So drugs that had bothered me before while I was still on prescription drugs, I stopped having all those crazy side effects that go with them. And that made a huge difference, because I'm sure that the men in your life suffered terribly from some of these side effects.
Terribly, darling. You know, can I buy these enzymes?
Sure. They're all listed in our book. You can buy them at any health food store. Ashley can help you when you see her.
We'll talk. Call me up when you have a moment, Grace, and we'll talk through it.
Oh,
I don't want to
I would
on the
like
air, but we'll talk
that.
Through it, okay?
Absolutely. And I want to thank you for inviting me this morning. Hello.
Grace, thank you so much.
Before you run, can
yes,
I
Yes, Simon.
A completely off-topic question. Before we went on air, that there were some mumblings about a book. I'm fascinated. What are you writing?
Well, it has to do with my life with Harold Robbins. And the title, I have the title and I'm working on the book. The title is Cinderella and the Carpetbagger.
I love it.
You love it. Oh, I can't wait.
By the way, I am a book reviewer.
You are? Oh, all right. Well, maybe I can send you some of the pages and let me know how I'm doing. It's not an easy thing to write. I admire all of you so much.
You know, you're right. I used to scoff at writers, too, until I started it.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
It's not easy. Yes, oh, absolutely. Well,
and
thank
for you, with writing your book.
Well, I hope I can get through it. And I love meeting you, Simon. And, Brooke, I'm going to call you about the enzymes. And, Manny, you keep up your good work. And I'm so happy to be with you this morning.
Thank you for sharing, Grace. I really appreciate
absolutely.
It. Absolutely. Have a blessed night, honey.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.
Now, that's a hard act to follow, Grace.
It is. I thought I had the entire show wrapped up with my zombie invasion story.
That's all you had to talk about today, Simon.
I just wondered if they really limited to which class of zombies, because, you know, some you can kill, some you can't, some multiply. some come back in 30 days, and, you know, it required a serious analysis of zombies there, right?
It does. I am going to do further investigation, obviously.
Yeah, you need to know there's 28 days before, 28 days after, if you've seen those movies. You know, how, do they come back? How often they come back? These are inquiring minds want to know all these truths about zombies, right?
Absolutely. I have to admit that Grace was very, very interesting. You know, I'd never really considered the lifestyle of someone like Harold Robbins. It's just not something you sit and think about.
Well, that's one of the strange things that I've gone through being raised in Hollywood, is that I've seen these lifestyles of people for whom there are little, few if any rules, and there were really no rules for Harold. And he was in a life where he could pretty well do whatever he wanted and lead his life any way he chose. And as a result, sometimes too much freedom is dangerous. And I've seen that with a great many famous people, that they were just free to do whatever they wanted, which isn't always in their best interest.
Right. My milieu, if you will, is more the music world. And I don't know how many well-known musicians I've interviewed, but there's this reoccurring theme, you know, success essentially breeds bad habits. You know, suddenly you have more money than you know what to do with. Drugs, alcohol, and debauchery follow fairly rapidly.
Oh, does debauchery kill people? Well, you know, oddly enough, though, about performers like that, they exercise more. You get up on the stage and you work for 2 hours performing, they burn a lot of stuff off. Whether you like their alcohol consumption or not, they do. But your writers, and I can speak for this one, struggle to find exercise time. It's a big problem for me to be able to push myself away from my desk or go lift some weights for a little while.
Oh, me too. Sitting on the bike is what I used to do, and I have to force myself to go do that because I get so, oh, my God, look at this one, you know. Honey, you got to see this, you know.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that goes on in this house. So.
We're about 3 minutes away from the end of today's broadcast, but Manny, would you like to tell the listeners a little about what they can expect on Thursday?
Yeah, well, Thursday we start our new show, The Food Revolution Papers, which is based in part on our upcoming book, The Food Revolution, and what we're going to do is take a look at the politics of food, and we're going to zero in on, excessive donations, contributions, lobbyists, all those little things that bother Americans who go, well, how did this happen? Well, we're going to show how it happened, and how it happens is in our government, they put the issues of money before politics, money before Americans, and we're going to show how this affects everything you eat every day of the week. And it's going to be an interesting show. What do you think, Simon?
Oh, I'm looking forward to it. Ashley, I have this mental image of you cringing in the corner.
Oh, definitely. Although I've already been pulling things going. I went from, oh, my gosh, will there be anything to talk about? The problem is, well, can we get it all into an hour?
Right.
I did want, before we close the show, though, today, though, Simon, to briefly tell people to please look at the recalls, not just recalls, also look at the foodborne illnesses at the foodsafety.com. As of June 7th, a Virginia child, 2-year-old, died, and she died from the E. coli that is the same identical E. coli that is occurring in Germany. And it's occurring in the northeast Tennessee and southwest Virginia. So please. And also there is in Illinois, there's an outbreak of salmonella with tainted chicks and ducks. So please, 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 there's a big recall on beef, and I had a whole list of recalls today that we were going to go through. So make sure everybody looks at it.
So tune in on Thursdays, and we're going to do recalls also every week so people understand, you know, where what they should buy and not buy. Because guess what? One of our subjects is how the government does not provide recall information to you bought and eaten the food because they don't want the food manufacturers to suffer financial loss by taking the food back. So the question is, whose side are they on? And we're going to discuss that on Thursday.
It's going to be a food fight.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
And we may also be having there may be a Oregon farmer that will be on the show as of the first show on Thursday, which we'll talk about.
If not, she'll be on the next following week, yes. Right. And so we're going to dig in. So if you're into politics and you want to know about the politics of your food, tune in Thursday mornings at 9 a.m. West Coast time, noon East Coast time. And we're going to deliver lots of gossip about food. Right, Simon?
That's right. I'm looking forward to it.
Muckraking at its best.
Oh, muckraking? Does that mean we're going to mention manure lagoons?
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely.
As I joke with Ashley, we're going to pass out pitchforks and torches, and we're going to go after some of the big corporations for their bad habits.
Splendid.
You like a good pitchfork, don't you?
I do. Okay, I need to wrap this up. Manny and Ashley, I want to really thank you for taking part today. And of course, great thanks to Grace Robbins.
Grace Robbins Barnes, yes, thank you.
Yeah. Till next week, well, actually, till next Thursday, this is Simon Barrett wishing everyone a happy and safe week and weekend. Till next time, goodbye.